Welcome back, everybody, to the Savage Info Podcast Show number 15. As always, I am glad you are here. I cannot thank you all enough for all of the follows and shares and likes that went along with last week's show, and I guess a little bit of Facebook self-promotion. But thanks to you guys, we have better than doubled our audience size. We've almost tripled our followers, and we definitely tripled all of the listens for the show. I really can't thank you all enough. For any of you that are even interested, but don't quite understand the way Inside Baseball here at podcasting works, first and foremost, right at the moment, there is zero money revenue involved in this for me. I am doing this right at the moment because I like doing it, and it's turning out to be a lot of fun. Maybe someday after we get a million followers, there'll be 50 cents in it for me. But what actually happens when you guys are good enough to do the follows and the shares and the likes, or even a rating, what happens is that causes places like our primary host, which is Spotify, or Apple Podcast, or iHeartRadio, or Amazon, and Audible. What happens is they see the growth through their algorithms, and they push the show out harder, which gets it into like more and more search engines, or it'll pop up in just random stuff. They'll keep throwing us out there. And as I said, I'm really having a great time doing this. Last week, having Jared on, that was awesome. If you haven't heard the Savage & Son podcast, give it a listen. It's a long one, I'll admit, but man, that time went by fast. We do have more guests lined up for future episodes, and seriously, if you yourself or somebody you know of you think has a cool story or would just make a great guest for whatever, have them email us at savageinfopodcast@gmail.com, and we'll see if we can get them on. I am going to make having guests a much bigger part of the show. I never really envisioned this, but it turns out it's really, really a lot of fun. Obviously I'm not going to have movie stars and things like that on at this point, but I think kind of an every person kind of podcast. Everybody has a story. We'll always learn something. And your story may be a lot more interesting than you think. It also does take a hell of a lot of pressure off of me. So anyways, the on-air light is lit. Let's dig into this week's show. Today's show is chemtrails. Or are they contrails? What's going on up there in the sky? I'm sure I've mentioned in previous episodes that I am definitely a conspiracy realist kind of guy. I enjoy a good conspiracy theory, and I enjoy the debates that spring up around that, usually a lot of fun. Now, I will be the first one to admit that I was more than ready to stick a fork in this little conspiracy theory. I wasn't very convinced that chemtrails were really a thing. But after nosing into this a little bit, I have found some very interesting things. I'm not quite so sure that this doesn't have way more merit than I believed. So let's see what you think. Now, a contrail that you see coming out from behind a jet airplane as it goes buzzing across the sky at 30-some-odd thousand feet, in simple terms, is the hot, humid air coming out of the jet engine mixing with cold, low-pressure air behind the plane, condensing into water that freezes. Now, that's what makes the streaks. Nothing more nefarious to it. You see them every day. Now, chemtrails, on the other hand, our conspiracy theory friends contend, that chemtrails could be everything from mind control agents to modifying the weather to a whole bunch of anything and everything in between. Now, weather manipulation, i.e. cloud seeding, we know that's real. I know they've done it in this country here, surprisingly, since the 40s. China did it ahead of the Beijing Olympics to push rain out of the forecast. They bled the clouds out. So let's take just a second here and dig a little deeper into cloud seeding. Now, during the Vietnam War, there was something called Operation Popeye. That is where the United States used weather modification, and I'm assuming it was cloud seeding, as a military weapon. They were able to extend a monsoon season and keep the rains going, and it kind of appears to me that they might have lost control of it, kind of overdid it. It resulted in some really severe flooding, which made a really big disaster on the ground, and that, it didn't say exactly when the push got started, but that led to an international treaty being signed in 1977 that prohibited the military use of weapon or of weather modification. And I'm sure that no country would dare break a treaty like that. Now, there are a few private companies that actively use cloud seeding, especially in areas where hail is very prevalent. And that is kind of being led, however you want to put it, by the insurance companies to minimize property damage. Now, ski resorts can use it to seed the clouds and make it snow, better for their business. Hydroelectric companies, it's said, they can use it to boost spring runoff by increasing the snows. Now, that one, I don't know on that one. Because if you stop and think about it, like Tahoe and Meade and all those big lakes out west have been way, 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 way down for years and years and years and years and years. And if they could really use cloud seeding to increase the snow, I guess I would kind of think that maybe those lakes wouldn't be quite as low as they are. They can use weather seeding, cloud seeding, whatever. They can use it to help disperse fogs around airports for better visibility, I read. I honestly had no idea how prevalent this actually is. Now, all of this, cloud seeding, manipulation, however you want to put it, falls under the guidance of NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So I'm sure their watchful eye is tuned in to definitely what's going on. Now, what exactly are they dumping out of the back of an airplane or shooting into a rocket or with a rocket into the clouds? Well, how's about calcium chloride, sodium chloride, sulfur iodide, which is the most common one, potassium iodide, sulfur dioxide, dry ice, bismuth triiodide, and propane, of all things, or any combination thereof. I find it difficult to believe that enough research in long-term effects of dumping these chemicals all over the place has honestly been done. I mean, the study would be extremely hard to do and probably expensively exhausting. And more importantly, not even the Earth, but what is going on with all this stuff being dumped into the water? I mean, we all know Earth is more water than it is land. So anyways, I kind of doubt long-term effect research is probably ongoing, but it's probably lacking. So is cloud seeding just chemtrails with a different name? Yeah, it kind of looks like it. Now, I'm sure the politicians and the scientists would jump to tell us how widespread the use of cloud seeding is. And that it would be done transparently with all kinds of safety studies and guidelines. Yeah. Now, as we're going to find out here in a minute, the government would not just go out and start doing testing without informing the public or having safety guidelines. We know they wouldn't do anything like that, right? Now, stay tuned here for a minute. Now, another one of the things that the conspiracy theories have brought up is albedo modification. Now, albedo modification is putting chemicals into the air to reflect light radiation back into space and combat the evil monster of global warming. Or I guess nowadays I should say climate change. But what are they spraying into the sky to do albedo modification? Well, turns out they're sulfate aerosols. And one of the big ones is aluminum oxide. Now, remember the name aluminum oxide. It's going to come up again here in a little bit. Another one of the things I saw was dropping chemicals out of airplanes for radar mapping for the defense industry. I really can't see where that's probably true in my head. With all the technology that we have today, I don't really see them doing that. Now, some of the other fun ones were psychological manipulation. I'm not buying that one either. I really don't think that we need to spray chemicals into the atmospheres for psychological manipulation, given the fact that we have tons and tons and tons of social media, mainstream news, and everybody pushing their own narrative. I don't think we needed the chemicals to be psychologically manipulated. It's already happening. Another one was controlling the human population. Now, I suppose there we would have to do a whole podcast on Agenda 2050, which maybe we will. Biological and chemical warfare was mentioned. We know that exists. Kind of thinking by now we'd know if they were doing that in this country. God knows everybody couldn't keep their mouth shut forever about it. Even the spread of diseases and vaccines, well, hey, I wouldn't put it past them. And unfortunately, we may find out how much truth there is to that during the next plandemic. Don't know. The chemicals that are most often mentioned in these theories are aluminum and aluminum oxide. Now, the scientists are quick to jump to the microphone and point out that aluminum is a common trace element in soil, which turns out is true. The fun chemicals barium and strontium are also usually mentioned by the conspiracy theorists. And if the government is spraying alumina into the high atmosphere to reflect sunlight back into space, wouldn't it kind of make sense that those trails in the sky would be much wider than a contrail? Wouldn't it make sense that if they were doing that, it might honestly look like a tic-tac-toe kind of board or a checkerboard pattern in the sky? Both of which we've seen pictures of. Certainly seems reasonable to me. So, is albedo modification yet just another name for chemtrails? Well, it's estimated that about 5% of the American population believes in chemtrails. And that gained a lot of traction back in the early 90s. Now, several states, they either have or are attempting to pass legislation to ban geoengineering or solar radiation modification and cloud seeding. A couple of them are Minnesota, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, just to name a few there. Now, I personally think that these states that are wanting to do all this is just more pomp and circumstance and more than anything else, a big old reach around. Cloud seeding and chemtrails and all this stuff is happening well over 30,000 feet in the air. I think jetliners fly between, 32 and 37,000? And anything sprayed up there is hugely subject to the wind drift, and up there the winds can be crazy, and anything else that goes on up there in the atmosphere. So I can't see how any state down here beating their chest saying you can't do it would have a lot of effect. And granted, I know a state is a big place, but nonetheless, I think that's just a bunch of noise. I just don't see any way they could stop it in any shape or form. Now, if the government could control the weather, I'm sure some of you remember back to Bush 1 with Dick Cheney's weather machine making Hurricane Katrina, I think was what they said back then. Now, if the government could control the weather, it's quite terrifying. That would also mean, in a large scale, they would be controlling the food supply. They could make it rain. They could take rain away. They could cause hail. It would definitely not be good at all. I guess we've kind of managed to circle back over to Agenda 2050 again. And part of Agenda 2050, as I understood it, is what, reducing the population of the world by a third or something like that? We'll do a podcast on the Agenda 2050 one of these days. Now, some of this is kind of funny. One of the books I ran across was written by the author Peter Kirby. He is a taxi driver turned author, and it is called Chemtrails Exposed, which I guess I thought was kind of funny off the bat. But how many cool stories would a taxi cab driver get told in umpteen years of driving a taxi? I would have to think that'd be a lot, almost like a podcaster, huh? So anyways, I have never read Mr. Kirby's book, and I don't believe it's ever made the bestseller list. I did trip across a big podcast that had Mick West on it as a guest. Now, I believe he's the guy that made a big fortune, amongst other things, I would hope, coming up with the Tony Hawk video game. I think that's what it was. But he referred to chemtrails as training wheels for conspiracy theorists. I thought that was kind of funny, kind of cute. Now, there are some very notable scientists that support the idea of chemtrails. Now, some of these brilliant minds, I only got just a little small sampling here. Some of these brilliant minds are Jaden Smith, Kylie Jenner, and Prince. Well, formerly Prince. And there was a few other brilliant dignitaries. And if you can't trust their scientific judgment, who can you trust? Now, Alex Jones, he's been on board with chemtrails for a long, long time. And love him or hate him, he's been right about some really crazy stuff over the years. Now, you may have seen pictures of the inside of jet airliners with black tanks and neat pipes laid out all over the floor going every which way but loose. Well, it turns out the most likely thing that those are is testing how weight and weight transfer affects the way the aircraft handles. Kind of like a testing protocol, I guess, before they release the next one. Maybe they should work on keeping the doors on them. But anyways, that's probably what's going on there. But obviously, there has to be some kind of a tank that's holding the chemicals to do cloud seeding, right? And albedo? Yep, has to. Now, the Air Force does actually have a report written up, probably somewhere close to the UFO files, that is named Weather as a Force Multiplier. Now, I didn't really find whether they were talking about weather in general, you know, wait for a blizzard or what have you, or if they were talking about modifying the weather, such as Operation Popeye. Now, are chemtrails going to turn out to be the new Manhattan Project? They denied that existence for quite a while. Now, I mentioned a little bit earlier that the government surely wouldn't start doing a bunch of flaky, weird tests on the population without letting us know. Now, as so often happens in researching the Savage Info podcast, it turns out, to the surprise of absolutely nobody, they most certainly would and do. Go back to the 1950s. The U.S. military did a germ warfare test in San Francisco where they sprayed two kinds of bacteria. Think kind of like common cold stuff. into the fog. Now, both of these were thought to be harmless. They sprayed them into the San Francisco fog from a ship out in the bay, and it most likely ended up causing a lot of people to get sick and one gentleman to pass away. Obviously, they were wanting to test more or less germ warfare. Can you spray it in the fog and let the fog carry it across the city? Turns out it works. Now, interestingly, and probably even more alarming than spraying cold viruses or bacterias, the family of the gentleman that passed away filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the government, and unsurprisingly, the court held that the government was immune from the lawsuit for negligence, and they were justified in conducting tests without the public's knowledge. I'm assuming that might have been a San Francisco court, so I guess the silliness was still alive and well back in the 50s. Now, really, that should be terrifying if that did set a court precedent. That would be terrifying. Now, over the next 20 years, right up until the 70s, there were over 239 of these germ warfare-style tests conducted, well, that we know about, by the government. Now, a few of the better-known ones, there was one conducted in the New York City subway system. Did not get a year on that. One conducted in the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And there was one conducted at the National Airport outside of D.C. And, you know, Lord only knows what kind of tests we have done in overseas countries. You know, when it comes to conspiracy theories in our government, they've done a lot of denying, and then all of a sudden they get caught with their pants around their ankles. I'm sure everybody remembers the MK Ultra project with the LSD, the Tuskegee experiment and the syphilis, the Dalai Lama. Turns out he was actually a paid CIA agent spying on the Chinese. Right before the Vietnam War started, you had the Gulf of Tonkin incident, with all that fake BS going on. Not just America. Now, up in Canada, they actually were working real hard to invent a machine called a Gaydar machine. So somehow or another, they would look at you or take a picture or something on that order, and it could decide if you were gay. Because evidently, gay people are really scary. Illuminati and the National Security Agency. We all know that they're tied together hip and hip. Now, on kind of a side note, I was out this last weekend at the best little campground in central Illinois, which, of course, is a little campground that goes by the name of Hickory Hills. And I was talking with some friends out there. And the subject of the Savage Info podcast came up, and they asked me what the next episode was going to be, and I said, well, I think it's going to be chemtrails. And he immediately says, man, that is what happened in whatever desert country here just recently, and it was massive flooding and Armageddon and da-da-da. Now, I said I hadn't heard about it, but I would definitely look into it and add it to the podcast. Turns out, that in mid-April in the United Arab Emirates and Oman, or Dubai, they were hit with like record-breaking flooding for a desert area. It caused the death of reportedly about 20 people, and it was over 10 inches of rain in 24 hours, which granted in central Illinois that would be bad, but when you're in a desert country, and you don't even have the infrastructure to deal with rain like that, that would be a disaster. Now, that was the most rain that they've had since they started keeping records back in 1949. Now, in kind of digging into this a little bit, real quick, fast, and in a hurry, the government types and scientists were all tripping over each other to get in front of microphones to say it had absolutely nothing to do with cloud seeding and that it was all caused by climate change, which, you know, climate change is the current boogeyman. Now, when those kind of folks are drag racing over to the top of each other to get in front of a microphone to say it wasn't X, it was Y, I'm pretty much inclined to think it's probably X. I mean, they love to mislead you, seems like, anyways. Now, one of the things that they were quick to point out was that cloud seeding can't create clouds. Well, okay, I guess I can believe that you can't make clouds. But just like we learned earlier with Operation Popeye, there must have been clouds present and on some level. And just like with Operation Popeye, they were able to turn that into torrential downpours. So my theory would be that maybe there was already kind of a storm rolling around in the area and they were going to get a little bit of rain. So somebody decided to try out their cloud seeding, and holy cow, they really got more than they wanted for or wanted to get. So anyways, thanks to Tommy and Renee for the heads up on that one. I really appreciate it. So hey, if you happen to see me out running around somewhere and you got something you think would be interesting, don't be shy. I don't bite. And Lord knows, if you give me a chance, I will probably talk way too much about doing this podcast. It really is a ton of fun, and I like doing it. So anyways, there you have the Savage Info take on chemtrails or contrails, chemtrails, whichever one. I do truly appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. Again, I cannot thank you for all the likes and follows and shares from last week. I really appreciate it. It really does help push the show out there. It grows our audience and just keeps making this more and more and more fun to do. And again, as I said in the beginning, if you yourself or someone you know you think would make a good podcast, hit us on the savageinfopodcast@gmail.com, and we'll see if we can get something put together. Love to do it. Well, okay, it is time to click off the on-air light for this week. I recommend that you go forth, have a nice glass of Milam and Green Small Batch Bourbon. Good stuff. And as always, sin no more. We shall see y'all next week. Thanks for tuning in.